What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to hour number two of our show here. And I believe we have a caller on the line here. I have to scroll back up and I need a bigger monitor. Mike in Iowa. There we are. Mike in Iowa. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, Mr. Rivero. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Well, my call is about basically Andrew Jackson and the Second Bank of America. And I understand your concern with it in terms of the central bank and all that. But I sometimes wonder, whenever I hear people talk about that, I think about, I'm not a follower of Lyndon LaRouche. He has some interesting ideas concerning a productive economy versus a monetary economy.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems to think that Andrew Jackson made a mistake with destroying the Second Bank of America. Because from what I've read, when Andrew Jackson was on his deathbed, he actually said, "I killed the bank." I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but
I don't think it's true. I think it's one of those rumors that sort of gets started in history. As far as Lyndon LaRouche is concerned, I've heard about all this talk about a productive economy, and we want all economies to be productive rather than debt-ridden. But it's basically another way of saying we want to go back to a value-based currency. We just don't know what to base that value on. Unlike a great number of people, while I see silver and gold as excellent stores of value, excuse me, I don't see us going back to a gold and silver-based system because the population is growing and the available supply of silver and gold is not keeping up with it. And anytime you have a money system based on something that is in limited supply, you're going to wind up with more of that same manipulation that got us into this mess. So I think as we start thinking about the kind of economy we want in a post-collapse United States of America, we need to find something that is universally acknowledged to be of value, but yet can be created in enough abundant supply to make sure that everybody has enough currency to carry on their commerce. One suggestion we talk about over at whatreallyhappened.com is a currency based on electricity. We call it the electro. And the idea is the basic unit is worth a kilowatt hour. And this allows people to put up solar cells and windmills on their houses and directly monetize them and transfer the power to a storage utility in exchange for paper notes. But again, as we saw originally in the United States of America, the paper notes are not the money. They're merely claim checks. Where we got into trouble was allowing the Federal Reserve to treat the paper notes as if they were money, and then simply by printing up more of them, the bank made itself rich and through Bretton Woods pretty much looted the rest of the world. And the rest of the world's kind of tired of that. We know that China's starting to cut back their holdings of U.S. Government debt. And so I think pretty much everybody understands there's some kind of a major transformative crash looming on the horizon. It's almost a race between the collapse of the globalist economy and the triggering of a new global war to cover it all over. Personally, I'm leaning toward collapse over global war because a lot fewer people are going to get killed that way.
Okay. Well, you know, if you look at something like the fact that the asteroid belt beyond Mars might have asteroids that contain a ton of gold or silver or anything like that. If someone were to have the technology to go out there, that would completely then collapse the whole Earth.
Well, the cost, under current technology, the cost to get out there, mine it, and come back with it is probably more than the gold is worth. It's like the old law, the barrel law of oil. There's probably a lot more oil down inside the earth than that we're ever going to find. But if it takes more than a barrel of oil's worth of energy to get that up to the surface, then the party is over, and it doesn't matter how much is down there. New technologies can change that. But ultimately, I don't think a goal-based economy is the way we should be going. We need to be looking forward. Thank you for the call. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children.
survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the break pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny, and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method, which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
All right, I'm just going to start talking here as we get into the show. I actually have got a lot of stuff I got to get through. We're running a little slower on the talking points than I wanted to. The government of Great Britain is already making plans to evacuate their citizens from Greece as they have this final go-around on the bailout. Supposedly, the last final talks are in progress. But the reality is the Greek people aren't going to go along with this thing. They don't see any reason why they should, especially knowing that Papandreou and Goldman Sachs conspired to conceal the problem from the Greek people and in the process made it absolutely worse. Why should the people of a country pay for a government's crimes? The answer is they shouldn't, not in a mature republic. Only in a dictatorship are you required to pay for a government's crimes. Not in a free republic, not in a democracy. Now, even if this newest round of cost-cutting and looting goes through, I don't want to use the word austerity, for the simple reason, if you yourself decide to live on less voluntarily, that's austerity. When the government tells you you must live on less so that they can take more, that's dictatorship. So we're looking at this constant message that are coming from the bankers of the world to every country where they have a private central bank saying, you must make do with less so we can have more. Which is why BBC's Panorama can come into the United States of America, which used to be one of the richest nations on earth, and everything they show looks like a third world nation, especially up around Detroit. Here on the island of Oahu, we've got 4,000 homeless people, and this is a little tiny island. Now, even if this new round of cost-cutting and looting the Greek people goes through, I don't know, maybe they're going to say, oh, give us the Parthenon, we're going to put it in Las Vegas or something. The reality is, it's still expected Greece is going to hit their default by the end of March. Now, the reason the United States is in such a panic to get a real good global war going so that you won't notice the economic problems is because the same banks that helped Greece conceal its debt, run up its debt, the same banks that put Europe in this financial crisis with these fraudulent mortgage-backed securities have another little trick up their sleeve called the credit default swap. Now, this is essentially an insurance policy. If I am investing several million dollars in X, I can go to the broker and say, along with that investment, I want a credit default swap to cover my losses if X goes broke. If they fail to do it like a Solyndra, if they close without producing any product, I don't eat the entire loss because I've got that credit default swap. It's like an insurance policy. But credit default swaps are unregulated. And unlike regular insurance policies, you can buy a credit default swap on investments you do not own. See, if you own a home, you can buy a fire insurance policy on your home, but you can't buy a fire insurance policy on your neighbor's home because obviously it gives you a motive to go over there in the middle of the night with a can of gasoline and matches and burn the place down. But with credit default swaps, you can buy one of these insurance policies on anything you think might be going bust. It's another form of Wall Street's open-air gambling, and it's unregulated. And not only is it unregulated in the case that you can buy a credit default swap on other people's properties and investments, it's unregulated because the companies that are selling these credit default swaps are not required to keep cash reserves on hand to cover the claims that come in. This is why AIG just evaporated back in 2008 when Lehman Brothers collapsed and the whole thing started unraveling around these mortgage-backed securities because AIG didn't have the money to cover the claims coming in. When they were selling the credit default swaps, nobody ever thought there was going to be a claim on them. Everything was going up. It was boom time. Everybody was getting incredibly rich. Nobody wanted to look at the obvious signs of a pending crash. And the government did not enforce AIG to keep cash reserves in order to pay off a certain percentage of these credit default swaps should they be triggered. And despite that experience, despite that hard lesson, credit default swaps are still very much unregulated. And Wall Street banks sold and are on the hook for something like more than 95% of all the credit default swaps sold against the European debt. So now you can see the little petard that the Wall Street bankers have hoisted themselves with. Greece is expected to default at the end of March. Despite the Federal Reserve's pouring of trillions and trillions of dollars that you ultimately are expected to repay, I might add, all over Europe, both overtly and covertly, there was that $6 trillion in bearer bonds that got intercepted in Italy the other day that may have been a covert attempt to prop up the European banks without adding to their debt. Despite all of that, it's expected Greece is going to default end of March. When Greece defaults, some of those credit default swaps are going to come due in Wall Street. But if Greece's default triggers a domino effect across Europe, with those European nations that were owed money by Greece, like Germany and France, then those credit default swaps are going to kick in. I mean, they're already playing fast and loose to keep those credit default swaps from kicking in. Every time Europe says, all right, we're going to let Greece off the hook, you only have to pay us 50 cents for every dollar that you owe, technically that's a default. But the institution that is in charge of determining when credit default swaps are activated is basically saying, no, it's as long as they're able to pay one penny on the dollar, the credit default swaps do not activate and the Wall Street banks are safe. But when Greece collapses completely and it's zero on a dollar, they can't play that game any longer. and it's going to start unraveling. And, of course, the Wall Street banks are going to turn around to Washington, D.C. and say, please, we need another bailout. We've been really good people. We didn't mean to do wrong. The federal government will say, there, that's all right. We'll just get another few hundred trillion from the American people because they're a swell bunch of Joes, and they're never going to fight back no matter how much we take from them. Folks, you need to understand something. The Federal Reserve note, common wisdom is that unlike the silver certificate and gold certificate of an earlier, more innocent age, the Federal Reserve note is not backed by anything. Actually, it is. And this is the big secret they don't want you thinking about. The Federal Reserve note is backed by United States Treasury notes. What are the Treasury notes backed by? Your slave labor. A Treasury note is nothing but a promise by the federal government that somewhere down the road, they will take money from you in taxes, but without giving you back anything for those taxes, and then turn that money over to whoever's holding that Treasury note. So when the U.S. government printing up Treasury notes and sending them all over Europe and giving them to the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve prints up Federal Reserve notes in exchange, it's a little double shuffle to conceal the fact that what they're basically propping up the European economy with, and the American economy with, is a promise to make your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren work their entire lives away and turn over all the money to the government and not expect anything silly like health care or higher education to be paid for by the government. See, what we have in the United States of America is kind of the worst of all worlds. There are other nations with taxes just as high as the United States of America. But in those countries, you get medical care. You get higher education. You get child care. You get good roads, good schools, good hospitals. You get good solid infrastructure for your tax money. Here in the United States of America, we're paying very high taxes. The money is going to Wall Street, wars, Israel, things like that. You still have to pay for your own medical costs. You still have to pay for your own higher education. The roads are crumbling. The bridges are collapsing. The schools are closing. You don't need the news. You don't even need me to tell you how bad things are in this country. You just walk around, open your eyes, and look at it as if you're a tourist, and you will see how bad things are. Look at all the closed retail outlets near your home, all the buildings that are shuttered, all the potholes in the road. You don't need BBC's Panorama to come in here and tell you that the quality of life in the United States is collapsing rapidly. And one more thing before we get off the subject here, because we're almost at the another commercial break. When the TV tells you 9 out of 10 Americans support whatever they're selling you this week, that's not there to measure public opinion. That's there to generate, to create public opinion. Just go out and talk to your friends. Talk to your friends and family and workers. Share your concerns with them. And you're going to find out two things. First of all, you may find out that what the general public is really thinking is not what the corporate media tells you it is. Second of all, and this is the really most important thing, when you have the courage to speak out to your family and friends and neighbors about what you see going wrong in this country, you will give them the courage to speak out about what they think is going wrong with this country. And out of that dialogue comes a consensus as to what has to happen. One of the biggest lies the corporate media is trying to put out there is that anybody who thinks that there are serious problems with this country is a loner and a loser, and you don't want to talk to them. And we have this almost ludicrous illusion of a room full of people, all of whom know that this country's gone down a wrong path, but they're all standing there staying silent because they think they're the only one that thinks that. And then one of them speaks up, and everybody says, I was thinking the same thing. I thought I was the only one. And this is why it is so important for you to get out there and talk to everybody and share what you know with your friends. You got to get everybody talking again to each other like a community, because that is the foundation on which the future of this country will be built. Okay, so are we in a commercial break here? I'm not here. Okay, my clock is off by 1 minute. I got to fix that. All right, so we've got Jim in Alabama. Aloha, Jim. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, how are you today?
I'm doing fine. We're probably going to have to just say hi and put you on hold until we come back from the commercial break. I'm just getting used to this new show clock, so you're going to have to bear with us a little bit. But you got, I guess, 30 seconds. Nope, there's the music. Hang on, Jim. We'll be right back to you after this station identification.
What's really happened? are now available for civilian uses. Order yours in camo, black, and any custom unit colors. Call 877-MY-BUNKER, the battle rifle all-purpose carrier. Put your rifle safely where it needs to be, at the ready, for a moment's notice. Your rifle is not leaning on a tree or in your trunk. It's with you when you need it. Rifles or shotguns will fit comfortably and safely in backpack mode, or transition simply to a tactical single-point harness in seconds. Watch a demonstration of the BRAC at 877mybunker.com. The BRAC is American-made with a lifetime guarantee. BRAC fits your rifles or shotguns, 22s, M16s, your M60, even the Barrett 50 Cal, and more. Call 877-MY-BUNKER or go online to 877mybunker.com to see the video. Save 20% now by calling 877-MY-BUNKER. That's 877-692-8653 and mention you heard this ad on RBN. Save 20%. Just mention you heard it on RBN.
How would you like to save over $100 on your gardening seeds this year? You can at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds offers 100% open pollinated, heirloom, non-hybrid, GMO-free premium vegetable seeds. On sale now for only $59 for 100 packets. Your 100 packets will include a variety of vegetable seeds, common herb seeds, and garden variety fruits. You can even collect your seeds from the plants you grow so you don't have to purchase more seeds year to year. Go to GetSeeds.net for a chance to buy your seeds at 300%+ below online retailers' prices. Save money and get non-hybrid, heirloom, GMO-free premium growing seeds at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds.net or call us at 877-341-GROW. That's 877-341-4769. GetSeeds.net. Do you want to know our real political and cultural history instead of the corporate media or the government school version devised to provide heroes and extract obedience? Then you will want to read The Ruling Elite, A Study in Imperialism, Genocide, and Emancipation. Learn how Lincoln's War, the majority of which occurred in the South, squandered the lives of at least 622,000 citizens, centralized government power, and introduced Marxism and militarism. Republic Broadcasting's own Deanna Spingola authored The Ruling Elite. On her daily program and in her book, Deanna is not afraid to delve into controversial issues. Order it now at Amazon.com or on Deanna's website, Spingola.com. The Ruling Elite, A Study in Imperialism, Genocide, and Emancipation. History is Prologue, our blueprint for today. Discover our history to better understand contemporary events.
And we're back here from the break. We're talking with Jim in Alabama. Jim, please pick up where you left off.
Yeah, Mike. Well, first I wanted to say good luck with the new show.
Thank you.
I've been a long-time listener and very rare. Well, I listen to all your shows. I mean, so we appreciate your voice in the darkness.
Thank you.
I think one of the biggest news stories from last week was this $6 trillion worth of quote-unquote fraudulent treasury bonds that was seized in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that these were not fraudulent at all.
I agree.
I have to apologize. I did miss the first hour of your show today, so I don't know if you've discussed this today or not. But I'm thinking, and just wanted your opinion, that this is some kind of backdoor bailout for the EU.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. See, here's the problem. Under our current banking model of private central banks and debt-based currency, there is no way that more money can be poured into the banking system without adding more debt on top of it, because all currency is created as a loan at interest. So I'm in agreement with you. This is the second one of these treasury bearer bond seizures to happen. The bonds were inside a box from the Chicago Federal Reserve. Plus, we have that other $15 trillion that just sort of magically showed up in Great Britain from that mystery syndicate. They were talking about that in the parliament. And I'm absolutely in agreement with you. I think the United States government is printing up these treasuries, and it is simply handing them to the European banks so they can put them on their balance sheets as assets without having to add an accompanying debt. And it's just a double shuffle to basically keep the banks looking like they're still technically solvent. Unfortunately, future American tax revenues are the guarantee of those treasury notes. And that puts us all on the hook, us, our children, our children's children. And we're literally selling our future generations into debt servitude, into indentured servitude to Europe, rather than admit that the fundamental design of a private central bank and a debt-based currency has a fatal flaw in it that must lead to the ultimate destruction of that system and the country in which it takes root.
Well, I agree with that. You have to consider also, I think, Mike, that, you know, since our currency is fiat, that what is the difference between our fiat currency and these treasury bonds?
Well, they're both fiat currencies. It's kind of a little double shuffle that they do to hide how money is brought into existence in the United States, because the U.S. simply prints up these treasury notes and sends them over to the Federal Reserve, which prints up Federal Reserve notes. Actually, both of them are printed at the U.S. Treasury. It's just a paperwork thing, and they send them back. And it basically hides from the American people that this is all just legalized counterfeiting. But the guarantee of the Federal Reserve notes are the U.S. government treasury notes, and the guarantee of the U.S. government treasury notes is your future slave labor.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for your comments. It kind of goes along with exactly what I was thinking.
Well, I'm glad to hear it, because I think it is a covert transfer of America's wealth to Europe to prop up those European banks, because if the Eurozone actually does collapse, Wall Street is going to be destroyed overnight, because all those credit default swaps they sold around the world are going to come due. And
yeah,
these people who bought these credit default swaps, they're not going to walk away from that. You know, they've hit the jackpot, and they're not going to want to walk away from that whole situation. So that's kind of what's going on. Like I said, if you have not read that article, The 11th Marble, over at my website, please go and do. It really does crystallize exactly why we're in this mess.
Okay, Mike. Thanks a lot.
All right. You got it. We're going to switch over to John in New York. Aloha, John. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Brother Mike, I'm so glad you're back at RBN, where you belong, brother. Keep up the good work.
I love
your website. I'm always giving it out, man. I was in New York City yesterday at the Wax Museum. I'm telling this lady about your website and your work. Real quick, this Obama meeting that he's going to have with Netanyahu on March 5th, what do you think they're going to be discussing? Some war plans for this up-and-coming war that they're pushing against Iran?
Yeah, I think that's probably the top topic. A lot of stuff seems to be gelling around the first weeks of March, because they got to get this war going before Greece collapses at the end of March. We know that Purim begins on evening of March 7th, going into March 8th. On March 8th, the FBI is disconnecting something like 4 million users from the Internet, ostensibly to contain this DNS changer Trojan that they say has become a major problem to the Fortune 500 companies and government computers. I think what they're going to do is the same thing that they did back in 2001, 6 days ahead of 9/11. 6 days before 9/11, the FBI was running around the United States of America shutting down Muslim charity websites because they didn't want anybody going online with asking questions about what was going to happen on 9/11 in order to control and contain the perception. And I think that's what's going on here. I've already checked all of our servers. We do not have this DNS Trojan. If, in fact, they yank our line, and they might, it's not because of the Trojan. It's just because they're getting ready to do something really ugly, and they don't want anybody out there saying, wait a minute, we were lied to before. They've done dirty tricks before. How do we know this isn't just more of the same?
Well, these crazies are on Purim. When you look back at the date, the amount of things that have happened on Purim in terms of their ritual sacrifices.
Okay, John, we got to take a break. Stay with me. We'll be right back. This is crazy.
at yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, my name is David Stovenel, and I host a talk radio show called Operation Restore Christian America. To listen online, go to genuinechristianitynow.com, then click on the Listen Live button every Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Time. My primary focus is that the Protestant Freemason British Royal Windsor family is now apostate and making their final all-out attack worldwide in an attempt to force us to accept their satanic New World Order. I offer remedies of how to stop them. The British monarchy has totally abandoned their ancestors' genuine Christian faith and have returned to their effort to conquer the world through the sovereign's will, hidden laws, violence, terror, and deceit. Remember, to listen online, go to genuinechristianitynow.com, then click on the Listen Live button every Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Time.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Do you need that sustained boost of energy, but want a more natural way of attaining it without the jolt and crash or the jitters you get from coffee and energy drinks? Zoom Tea is the healthy, sugar-free pick-me-up for body, mind, and soul. Does your coffee help you with weight control, mental clarity, anti-cancer properties, or give you an immune system boost? How about helping to stabilize your blood pressure, reduce your cholesterol, and increase your regularity? Now you can have all these health benefits with Zoom Tea. Check out ZoomTea.com or call our friendly staff at 575-936-7000. That's 575-936-7000. A one-month supply of Zoom Tea is only $20, and you get free shipping. Add chai seed to your order for only $12.95 to increase your benefits. Go to ZoomTea.com. That's ZoomTea.com to learn more.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to go back to John in New York. John, are you still there?
I'm still here, Brother Mike.
You know, outstanding.
These are barbaric people here that are running the show are just nothing but a bunch of neocon Zionists that want to just destroy the world. And how long do you think before the American people really wake up, Mike?
Well, that is a very good question. I have to be very honest in telling you that I thought it was going to be before now. You know, and I'm starting to wondering if, you know, they've found tranquilizers in like 25 major metropolitan area water supplies. They're finding mild levels of tranquilizer. We know that fluoride that is in a lot of our city drinking water is a mild tranquilizer. And I'm starting to wonder why Americans cannot seem to connect to their anger over what they're seeing happen before them. I wonder why all these parents, husbands, wives, sisters, brothers of all of these kids who were blown to bloody bits in Iraq in a war started with lies about weapons of mass destruction. Why are they not angry? Why are we not hearing from them? I understand there are financial inducements. They're told by the U.S. Military that if they speak out about how their family members die, they lose the death benefits from the government. But at some point, you have to wonder, where is that anger? And it is a bit of a mystery. I thought we would have reached it by this point. By the way, a little clarification. They're not trying to destroy the world. They're trying to reshape it into something that serves their money addiction. It's just along the way, a lot of people get killed and a lot of real estate gets blown up.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for correcting me there, Mike. But you have a great website. It talks about, you know, you have one of these stories you have is Greece shows us how to protest against a failed system. And I guess your webmaster commentary was excellent on that. And you said, we forget all the illusions about living in peace. The money junkies' lust for money is only matched by their lust for war as means to more money. We face a revolution against the money junkies or a world war fought for the money junkies. There is no third path. And since my life may be forfeited in a war, I reserve the right to choose for myself who my targets may be. Just awesome work, Mike. I just applaud your being a fellow helper for the truth. So continue the great work, Mike, and welcome back to RBN, brother.
Well, thank you very much, and we will continue to do our best on all of that stuff. And yeah, this can be a depressing show. I try and throw some jokes in there and some music and light commentary. It can be a very depressing show because we're dealing with some things that are very unpleasant to think about. And obviously, the money junkies are pushing for war because it's a chance to throw us all back into debt. I mean, Germany only paid off their World War I debts 3 years ago. So, of course, naturally, we have to go out there and start another war here. In fact, not too long ago, there was this wonderful movie called The International. And there was a quote inside The International. Let's see if I can find it. It should be in the little rack here. Yeah, here it is. And basically within the story of the movie is that there's this bank. It's a veiled reference to BCCI. And the idea is they're out there smuggling weapons all over the place. They're buying and selling weapons, and the investigators can't figure out why. And so they're talking to this banker who did business with them and who knows what the plan is. And they're trying to figure out, why are they involved in all the weapons? They really think they're going to make that much money just buying and selling handguns?
The IBBC is a bank. Their objective isn't to control the conflict. It's to control the debt that the conflict produces. You see, the real value of a conflict, the true value, is in the debt that it creates. You control the debt, you control everything. You find this upsetting, yes? But this is the very essence of the banking industry, to make us all, whether we be nations or individuals, slaves to debt.
That's really what it's all about, slaves to debt. This is rule by compound interest. Create a debt by imposing a banking system that always produces more debt than money. Brainwash people into thinking they're obligated to pay off that debt no matter how impossible it is, and you have them under your control. Control the debt, you control everything. I think we're on the verge of coming to understanding that rule by compound interest is no more legitimate than rule by divine right or rule by chattel ownership of one's body. We have, as a civilization, evolved to understand that rule by divine right was a hoax by those who practiced it to simply trick people into obedience. Likewise, we have come to understand that human slavery is illegitimate and that those who practiced slavery got away with it only because the slaves were brainwashed into believing that it was the way the world was supposed to be, just as we have all been brainwashed into thinking that private central banks and debt-based currencies are the way the world is supposed to be. But we know there are alternatives. We started this nation with an alternative that set people free rather than made them slaves. I think in the coming crash, we're going to see an evolution not only of our society and our banking system, but of our comprehension of what freedom is truly supposed to be. So let's see. I got some callers on the line here. Wow, a lot of callers on the line. David in Iowa. Aloha, David. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, hey, Mike, I'm going to talk about something I know you usually don't talk about, but I think it's really interesting. Since about noon Central time, the silver market has been going crazy. Like, I know metal markets are usually very volatile, but this one, it seems to hit a cap of $33.58 spot price and then jump down in a matter of 5 to 10 minutes, go down like a $1, $1.15, and then go right back up and cap out at $33.58. And it's like, I know it's a volatile market, but I think it has something to do with somebody trying to find liquidity and doing mass dumps of metals onto the markets. Maybe somebody's missing a couple $1 trillion in treasury notes they thought they were going to have for liquidity. I don't know. But
That's a very interesting conclusion. That's a really good thought. Yeah, whoever was supposed to be getting that $6 trillion in treasury notes, they don't have it this morning. We should be looking for some substantial disruptions around the globe here. As far as any kind of stock markets, we know that the American markets and the world markets are subject to massive manipulation with these high-speed computer trading operations. We know that there have been massive dumps of metals onto the market for the specific goal of keeping the prices depressed in order to discourage people from abandoning the equities markets and the capital markets, the currency markets, and going over to metals. I think it's one of the reasons why all of a sudden we're starting to see these gold bars with Fort Knox hallmarks showing up with tungsten cores over there in Europe. I think somebody is doing the same thing to the gold bullion that they did back to the silver coinage back in 1963, where they 1964 rather, where they just took out the silver and put in these clad slugs and said, it's just as good, and as long as you go on believing it's just as good, the system will go on working. So there's a lot of crookedness going on, and one of the things you need to remember about governments as a whole, when they feel that their own existence is threatened, the laws go out the door. They figure anything they do is justified as long as it prolongs the power and authority of the government. And so I expect that after it's all over and we are looking back, we will find all kinds of fraud was going on in the financial system, in the bullion markets, and in the metals markets. I know silver can be somewhat volatile because it has a lot of industrial applications. I was rather surprised to find out that every Tomahawk cruise missile made has something like 12 kilograms of silver in it for all the wiring for the high-speed signal processing. I mean, we put more jewelry on our weapons than we do on our wives, and I think that betrays what a sick society we've become. So, you know, now that... Sorry, please, one more time. Okay, I'm having a hard time understanding you. What I was about to say there is with the demise of chemical-based photography, because we're all going digital now, that's going to free up a huge demand for silver. I would almost expect to see a dip in the prices because companies like Kodak and Fuji don't buy as much of it to make film anymore because everybody's gone digital. And I know there are people in Hollywood who still, we like the film look. No, no, you don't. You just don't want to have to learn how to use the digital technology. So that definitely has a factor in it. But there's a lot of manipulation going on, and I think we're seeing it on a daily basis.
Well, that's true. And I know the silver markets are volatile, but it's just, I don't know, I've been watching them for a while, and I don't usually see, it's the really thing that really strikes me is it hits $33.58, it just stays there, it coasts until it hits another spike down. But thanks for your time, and have a great show.
You got it. Thanks an awful lot. No, the stock market, the equities, the bankers, they don't want those metals prices going too high because then people start saying, oh, I want to sell my stocks. I want to pull my money out of the banks and put it into the metals and so forth and so on. All right, we're going to go with Alan in Texas. Aloha, Alan. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking my call again. Congratulations on your new network show and everything. I want to comment on a couple of things. Somebody commented on your show being uplifting or not being uplifting, and I want to say that it's uplifting for me. It's only not uplifting when I talk to people out on the street and they don't seem to get it. So there's that. Anyway, I also want to thank you for when you talk about your experience with the Viking program. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of the space program, NASA and stuff like that, and so I really appreciate that. I've got that little panoramic picture that they took back in 76. I bought that when it first came out when I was a teenager.
And I got what mine for free.
Anyway, what I want to relate that to is, speaking about NASA, I had the pleasure of meeting Gene Kranz one time. Yes. And that was a real pleasure. He's a really great guy, and he was so inspiring to me. I'd always had an interest in aviation, and that was one of the reasons why I decided to go ahead and go to flight school and get my pilot's license. And I always think of that as an experience. And two things that brings up. One, I wanted to kind of ask you, you've alluded to having a little bit of flight training yourself, and I kind of wanted to just get an idea of how far along you got, and I wanted you to respond to that. And the other thing I wanted to relate to is something that I learned while I was in flight training that probably a lot of people don't know, is that pilots are all taught emergency, what they call squawk codes. And that is, if there was a malfunction or a abduction or a hijacking, we used to call them, there's a code that they can put out on their radio that's not audible to anybody, and only the people in the tower actually receive this. So that relates to 9/11. That's one of the reasons why I have the view of 9/11 that I do, because I know it is impossible that four planes could have been hijacked and not a single one of these well-trained pilots put out the squawk code. That's just not possible.
Well, you're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. Now, the squawk code, for those people who don't know what we're talking about, and first of all, in terms of my own flying experience, I was in flight school. I was on the verge of soloing, and then my first wife divorced me in a fit of good taste, and I had to basically quit. But I love flying. Flight simulators are the only games that I'm allowed to have. I keep promising myself one day when I'm rich, I'm going to go back and finish my flight training. Other than that, I do it vicariously through spaceships and whatnot. But the situation, you're absolutely correct. The squawk code is the number that shows up on the radar scope with the computerized radar, and there's a transponder in the aircraft, and when you first contact the terminal control area, the aircraft controller will tell you squawk 219 or some number, and you put it on there, and that way they're able to identify you on their radar scope. It's got a little data block that sends them their altitude and your airspeed, and it basically makes it a lot easier to keep track of what's going on. There are certain codes you can dial into that transponder that will signal the ground that there's an emergency in progress, including hijacking, so forth and so on. The reason it didn't catch that much attention on 9/11 is there was a NORAD drill going on at exactly the same time, simulating mass hijackings across the country. Something like 30 aircraft were in the air squawking, "I'm being hijacked," and the ground controllers all thought it was a training exercise. That's why the messages from the real planes weren't being paid attention to.
Yeah, I understand that. And I just wanted to, before I go, I just want to mention that when I was in training, they were very, very emphatic about the fact that you don't want to accidentally ever squawk that code. As a matter of fact, they want you to enter the numbers a certain way so that you don't accidentally scroll past the squawk code that you're not supposed to, because if you do, they're going to come ask you a lot of questions. So anyway, I know you got a lot
to talk about. The computers immediately flag that. Yeah,
I know you got a lot talked about, so I want to let you go. But anyway, I just wanted to get an idea how far along you got on your flight training, and I hope you enjoyed that, and maybe you'll get to do more, because it was one of the best things I ever did in my life, that I went ahead and followed my dream and got up in the air and experienced that. So thank you, and we'll talk to you later.
No, I absolutely love it. I absolutely love flying. You have to be so focused, it just makes all your other problems go away. And, you know, I was dealing with a deteriorating marriage and all the rest of that stuff. But then the financial situation, it just wasn't possible for me to complete. And it's one of the great frustrations of my life. The squawk code thing wasn't really an issue. I hate to give my age away here. I took my lessons back when they were still teaching you to fly in a triangle if you're lost and you would need somebody to come pick you up. So that's kind of where I was here. I do go up on the North Shore here and go sailplaning a lot, and it's just a lot of fun. I do love it. I absolutely do love flying. I used to love traveling by air, but I don't ever since the TSA came along, and I'm hardly alone on that. It's just absolutely destroyed our tourism out here. Okay, we've got another caller waiting on the line. I want to fit in before the break. Joe in California. Aloha, Joe. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi. Well, when you said that Americans need to wake up, I don't think that's the problem. I think we have become a very selfish people. We don't care about anybody else but ourselves. The American people, as long as they have a job and money's coming in, they're not going to worry about what's going on with TSA or anything else. Not only that, but they look at the homeless people as they need to get a job, and it'll never happen to them. And we've been trained, USA number one, USA number one, that we'll never fall, and the government will figure it out for us. That's what I am beginning to believe. I talk to my neighbors, and all they say is, oh, yes, it's very scary, but they go about their business. They have no desire to stop anything.
Well, the reason is very, very simple, because we're all raised to think that we're decent, honorable, upstanding citizens who would fight against a corrupt government, for truth and justice and so forth. But the reality is that when we are actually confronted with evidence that the government has gone down a wrong path, we have to make that choice. Are we actually going to do something about it, which entails risks? Let's not kid ourselves. People get hurt. People lose their careers doing this kind of stuff. I mean, I had it happen to me back in 1994. You know, or you can turn a blind eye, in which case you have to stop thinking of yourself as a fine, upstanding, moral citizen. And so most people basically are looking for a reason where they can go on thinking they're good people but not have to actually risk anything. And that's why they grab onto any piece of propaganda the corporate media offers them, where they can say to themselves in the mirror, I'm a decent, honorable human being and I would fight against injustice. I just don't see a reason to have to do it right now. And they, you know, there are priorities. They're trying to take care of their families and their homes. And I may not be happy about the fact that they don't want to get involved, but I do understand it to a certain extent. We got to take a break for commercials. Thank you for the call, Joe. We'll be right back.
Can't get no way, can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting worse every.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like Elderberry Power, Orgicillin, Olive Leaf Capsules, Grapefruit Seed Extract, and Respir 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes: whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Yeah. And aloha, America. Welcome back to the last segment of our show today. And I want to issue an apology to the people that we just disconnected from the phone banks. I wasn't expecting quite as many calls. I'm gratified to get them. Happy to get them. But I think for this show, as we get used to the new format, I'm basically going to have a rule that we're not going to take calls during this last segment, because this is my chance to kind of wrap up the day's conversation and get into the next show that follows along here. Obviously, I'm happy to be here. The response has been overwhelmingly good. The reason I'm here is to reach a wider audience on this very, very dangerous time that we find ourselves. There are too many world leaders who see a war as their best solution to their problems. It's almost like, oh, we're going to be greedy and we're going to build things. And when it gets to a point where they can't sustain the farce and the fraud any longer, they just say, all right, we'll blow everything up, and that way people will have no idea what's going on. The U.S. has got a strong motive to go to war with China, because then they don't have to pay back China all that money that China loaned them. The U.S. is eager to go to war against Iran for control of more of the Mideast oil. And, of course, to please Israel, which wants to go to war with everybody and have Americans fight it and pay for it. And war is a very easy thing for people who've never fought in it. And somebody was pointing out the other day that as we look at this whole GOP lineup of candidates, all the ones who are out there saying, war is great, we've got to go to war, we've got to do, what do you mean we, Kemosabe? They've never served. The soldiers who've actually, the politicians who've actually served in war are the ones who are speaking out against it. Ron Paul's a good example. Dwight Eisenhower, supreme Allied commander in World War II. The man saw war up close and personal, and as president, tried as hard as he could to prevent the United States from sliding into being a permanent warfaring nation. Sadly, he did not succeed, mostly because we were all ignoring him in his farewell address. I'm opposed to a new world war for a number of reasons. One, I'm opposed to war in general. I'm opposed to anything that blows up our kids into bloody bits on the other side of the world for no real purpose that anybody can understand outside of numbers on a stockholder's report. I am concerned about getting into this new world war for two reasons. One, we're going to lose it, because the U.S. government doesn't have the three M's this time. Men, money, manufacturing. Those were the factors that allowed the United States to prevail in big mistake number one and big mistake number two. And we don't have those anymore. The government is deeply in debt. Our manufacturing has been stripped off and sent to other countries. And we just, even with all the instant citizens made from the immigrants, don't have the manpower. And nobody's going to loan us money to go out and do more warfare, because there's a good chance we're going to lose this one. Nobody wants to bet on the losing horse. The second reason I'm very concerned about this rush into world war, especially with Russia and China on the other side, because of the fact the United States government is doomed to lose this war. Sometime between the moment when they realize they cannot win the new world war conventionally and the final surrender and capitulation, they'll start turning those little brass keys in those missile silos. And don't for a moment think they won't, because remember, it is the United States of America that remains the only nation to use nuclear weapons against civilians of another country. And they won't hesitate to do it again. So, on that rather downer situation, thank you for joining us on our show today. We will be back tomorrow here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And until then, aloha, America.